Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Often uncelebrated and rarely visited, the summits of each of London's boroughs can be somewhat of a letdown by the time you reach them. However, in the company of Rick Pearson, even the climb to the highest point in London becomes an enjoyable adventure. I accompany him to Westerham Heights, Bromley's highest peak. I admit I was somewhat underwhelmed when we conquered it, yet the passion and sheer exuberance of Rick as he recounts his previous conquests and those to come will carry you up to the top. Rick, in turn, has accompanied many others on these adventures, and you can listen to their stories on his LondonPeaks.com podcast. Okay, so I've already walked for 40 minutes. I'm a bit sweaty, and I'm still going uphill. So why, Rick, am I going uphill?
Well, you're going uphill because we're going to the highest point in the whole of London. We're going to Westerham Heights, which is 245 metres above sea level, making it the highest point in London by some way, actually. The closest after that is in Croydon. Peak of Croydon is Sandstead Plantation, 175 metres. Quite a drop off after that.
And how far do you reckon we are from the peak now?
I reckon we are probably still 4 miles, actually, from the peak. So it's quite a long walk, actually, yeah.
So this isn't your first peak ascent, is it?
No, so I've been going round walking with interesting people like yourself to various high points in the London boroughs. So there's 32 London boroughs, but only 31 peaks because Lewisham and Southwark share a peak. So yeah, I've done about 23 of the 31. Started with all the inner London boroughs, and then currently doing the outer London boroughs, and that's where actually most of the interesting high stuff is. So I've really enjoyed the outer stuff. But yeah, I'm getting quite used to this peak bagging in London.
Not only have you been climbing each of these
summits, I guess.
Can we call them summits?
Yeah, I think so.
Not only have you been climbing the summits, but you've been climbing them with people. So tell us a bit about the people you've been climbing with, and then also how you've been recording.
Sure, yeah.
What you're doing, because I learnt earlier on that you have put pen to paper and been paid to do it. So.
Well, yeah, so I guess the idea about walking with other people was, I had a friend of mine who did a similar sort of challenge as far as going to the various peaks was concerned, but he did it on his own. And he did the 12 London summits of the inner London boroughs in one go, all in one day. He's a very fit bloke, and it sounded like very impressive, but quite a lonely kind of feat. So I thought, is there a kind of version of this that would involve not just me and slightly slower pace kind of movement? So the idea came to walk to the highest point in each London borough with somebody with a connection to that borough or just a general interest in London. So, yeah, the first person I got was Shappy Kasandi, which I was pretty surprised and, yeah, really really excited about because obviously she's pretty high profile and she was lovely. We walked to the highest point in Hammersmith and Fulham, which is just off College Road near Kensal Green Tube. Not one of the most picturesque London peaks, and it was a freezing cold day as well, but yeah, she was lovely and very, very interesting to talk to and very sort of charitable about my slightly amateur efforts at interviewing her.
Sorry, and you were recording it?
I was recording it, so I've got a mic similar to the one you use. I've got a Zoom mic with a screw-in handle.
Yeah, we were joking earlier on, wasn't it, that you were more sophisticated than me because I hold mine. You've got a handle.
Yeah, I guess if you're being sort of really sort of picky, yeah, we could go and say, no, yeah, I've got... Where's your handle?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
But no, it's very...
I'm not working with you.
But it's very DIY. It's got a kind of, kind of DIY aesthetic to it. And I think I sort of don't pretend that it's a kind of great high-tech show or anything. And I hope that some of the appeal lies in the idea of it being a bit of a kind of one-man band, fairly dodgy equipment. Let's go up and find a peak.
When you introduce your podcast, you're actually talking to someone else who's involved as well in some way.
That's right. So it started off with me and a guy called Isaac Williams, a great friend of mine and someone I used to work with. We wanted to do it as a weekly podcast to start off with. And we managed to do that during the 12 inner London boroughs because I wanted to get a sense of kind of momentum around, and it's going to happen fairly quickly. It's going to be sort of 12 weeks and the whole thing would be done. But then when it went to the outer London piece, it's a little harder to get to. It takes a bit more time. We hadn't made our fortune doing the podcast, although we're still waiting to get the call to do something like Honolulu's piece or something. Would be nice.
Now, you stepped in front of me, because what we're doing is we're walking along a route which we hope will take us to the North Downs Way, which is a national trail, which I believe follows much of the Pilgrim's Way.
That's right, yeah.
Around here. And where are we now?
So we are just getting away from the village of Knockholt. So we started at Knockholt Station, which is actually quite a long way from the kind of Knockholt village centre.
So I discovered.
Yeah, it's about 3 miles, isn't it? So the North Downs and Pilgrim's Way, they share the same route for a bit and then they sort of diverge and join again. I think the North Downs Way doesn't quite have the history of the Pilgrim's Trail. It's only 40 years old, actually, I think, this year.
What slightly caught me out when we met at Knockholt Station was that you said you hadn't brought a map and that you didn't feel you were very techy either, but you had a sort of vague idea about where we should be going, which I suppose is uphill, really. So that wasn't difficult, but it wasn't as simple as keeping the river on your left.
No, that's true. Well, I've got this idea, and it may be that I'm proved wrong about this, but that I know the North Downs Way really well. And that is sort of true. There are parts of the trail that I know really well, and I absolutely love it to bits. It's nowhere near as celebrated as the South Downs Way, which I've walked as well, and is lovely in its own way. For me, in North Downs, it's great because you get everything. You get real countryside, like this. You cross the M25 at one point, it takes you down the streets, roads, it morphs, and it continues all the way down from Farnham to Dover. And yeah, I'm actually really passionate about it as a place to walk. I absolutely love it.
Let's explore a little bit more about the podcasting. So you and Isaac were doing it together.
Yeah.
And what, he was in North London and you were in South?
Both in South London at the time. He's now in North London and is very welcome to do a sort of interview any time, but he's really busy at the minute. And I think maybe he got what he needed to get out of it in the 12 in the London ones, and I really still wanted to explore the whole of London.
You know, when you have, what next, apart from Honolulu?
I really want to complete it because I think it's something that's been a great project to do, and I feel really privileged. Some people I've walked with and talked with, learnt loads about London, but also about lots of different subjects. We've had everyone from, like, astrophysicists to comedians to poets. And it's been lovely to have those sort of conversations, kind of conversations I wouldn't sort of routinely have. But I think one of the big discoveries that surprised me was just how much I love walking in London. I don't want that to stop with the completion of the podcast. As long as I live in London, I will endeavour to walk in it as much as possible and to discover new places on foot. And that was a surprise to me, actually. I didn't think that I would quite feel that way about London, because before I did it, I didn't really think of it as a great walker's city.
Well, that's interesting, because I think a lot of people would say it is a great walking city.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And certainly there's this new campaign, the National Park City campaign.
Yes, yes, yeah.
And certainly in the city of London, the city itself, not the boroughs, more journeys are done on foot than on any other way. So.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that. I wouldn't have necessarily expected that. I think the more people that walk and engage with London on foot rather than public transport, or cars, which there's nothing wrong with, but I think walking makes you care about a place more. I think you feel more of attachment to it, and I think if more people walked, actually, we would be caring more about the city, feel a bit more engaged with what's going on.
Now, of all the summits that you've climbed, which would you recommend climbing again?
The one I'm going to today has a real significance because it is the highest point in London. From a view perspective, Andrew, it's not going to be...
Oh, okay.
It's not going to be incredible, I don't think.
I must say, Westerham Heights sounds more like a nursing home.
There's a little gardening centre called Westerham Heights, so I know what you mean. It doesn't sound like sort of Mount Everest, does it? But, yeah, great peaks. The one in Croydon is amazing. It's in Sandstead Plantation. Your idea of Croydon is wrong, I think. You know, most people's idea of Croydon is this kind of quite rough, crime-ridden place, estate, very urban. So much Croydon is the opposite of that. Very, very green, beautiful place. This peak is in a Sandstead Plantation. Essentially, you go in there, you're not expecting to find anything, and someone's built a tree fort. They've constructed this kind of Blair Witch-style tree fort, and someone's put a little A4 piece of paper that says, "This is the highest point in Croydon. 175 metres above sea level."
So someone's worked this out before you?
Someone worked out before me, and someone was doing this stuff anyway, you know.
I've just realised that You know, this chap knows where we're going, but I don't. It could be the middle of nowhere, although it's going to be in London. We are still in London.
It will be right on London limits, yeah.
I rather fear he's going to abandon me when we get there.
People sort of run off. There's a bus that goes up to Westerham Heights from Bromley South, if anyone doesn't want to go on such a long walk. Don't worry, I won't be leaving you abandoned on the North Downs Way.
We were talking about which other summits you'd recommend revisiting.
Sure.
But we also ought to talk about the people you were with. Yeah. I don't particularly want you to pick off, oh, he was boring and she was dull. But I think a lot of one's experience and memories of a walk are revealed to the people that you're walking with.
Yeah. I think there's a few that stand out. John Rogers was one I walked with recently. John's a kind of psychogeographer, filmmaker, author, and just someone who was genuinely passionate about walking and thought that it was transformative, and talked about London in the same breath that he talked about places like Florence. And it isn't a schtick thing with him, you know, he really means it. And I thought that kind of relationship with the place that you live and doing an activity that's totally free, it's a very, very sort of sustainable love, that, isn't it? You know, I love walking in the town that I live in, and I think it's absolutely as beautiful as these celebrated places of Florence or the Alps. I found it really inspiring to talk with John about that. He's also very funny and kind of good humour, so that one sticks out.
And where did you walk there?
So we walked to the top of Havering, which is Havering at Bower, probably the most northeastern of the London boroughs. So it's very much, on the kind of Essex borders, I guess. Feels very wild and remote out there, actually, a little bit like where we are here, kind of between the Kent and London border, but you don't feel very, didn't feel very urban at any point. And another one that stuck out was a poet called Anthony Anaxagoru, and I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He didn't correct me, so I think that's why. We walked to the top of Hackney, and he had a sort of long-held relationship with Hackney. He was very interested in giving a voice to people from ethnic minorities who felt like they didn't have a voice. He was hugely passionate about poetry and creativity in general, and he was really, really fluent. He just was a great person to talk with. He said that he makes sure he reads 100 pages or something a day. The fact his head's in books rather than maybe kind of just online on the internet. He had this nice relaxed way of kind of speaking that I thought, actually, that's really impressive, and he had some great things to say. So I think those two stick out for me. But like I say, I've been very, very lucky that lots of people have been very interesting and very welcoming to the idea of walking to the highest point in their borough, which is quite a strange idea. I appreciate it.
Now, of course, Camden has high points, hasn't it?
Yeah, Camden's the highest point in the London boroughs, actually. A lot of them meet in and around sort of the top part of Hampstead Heath. So you've got Camden, Islington, Haringey, even, actually.
And that's where you have the source of quite a few of the hidden rivers of London, isn't it?
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. And then you've got a similar meeting place down south around sort of Crystal Palace Park, so Bromley, Croydon, Lambeth, Lewisham, kind of meet up around there, and lots of the highest points that are around there. The peaks that are nearest each other are Hammersmith and Fulham and Chelsea and Kensington. They're about 200 metres apart, actually. They almost look like the same peak, but they are different.
But that's partly because that's how the boundaries
exactly
were laid out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
By the highest point.
Yeah, which was it shows my sort of the lack of knowledge I had going into this, but all this stuff was new to me. I was like, wow, what are the chances that the high points of boroughs are near each other? What a coincidence. But yeah, of course, it makes sense.
Okay, we're just at a kissing gate.
We haven't kissed, though, have we?
No, but I insist on that with my wife. Every time we go...
Me and my wife do the same thing.
I insist on kissing through the gate.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. She usually recoils in horror. Okay, so North Downs Way, this signpost, right, really nice. It's sort of really weathered, and you can just sort of pick out what it says.
Yeah.
And it says, Kent, Surrey border, 2¾ miles. And you say that's...
Yeah, so I think the Kent and Surrey and London border is basically where Westerham Heights is. On one side of the road you see Welcome to Kent, and the other says Welcome to Bromley, and that's pretty much the highest point. And there's a lot of peaks that are like that, that are kind of at the boundaries of places. One foot in Kent, one foot in London, and you're at the highest point.
So we're on the North Downs Way, the sun is coming out.
It's lovely, isn't it? Yeah.
And we've been walking for about... Well, we got off the same train at 9:20.
So an hour and a half, is it?
And it's now 10 to 11.
Time flies anymore, don't you think?
But I mean, that first stretch when we were going up.
Yeah, sure.
That was quite a lot of main road, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And actually, it wasn't so much main road, it was B or C road, but it was no footway.
Quite fast cars. It's amazing, isn't it? I think, and then you step off it, and then we were immediately relaxed and felt like we were in the countryside.
We do have the hum of the M25, though, don't we?
I guess that's what makes the North Downs Way quite different to the South Downs Way, is that you have that constant reminder. The city's never that far away, and I like that, actually. I like that kind of interface between the urban and the rural. A lot of interesting walking can be had in those places, actually.
Now, tell me a little bit about your listeners. Do you get some comments coming back from people, and what are they telling you?
Yeah, my sense of the listeners to London's Peaks is that we've got people who are just interested in the idea of going to London Summit. That would be a proportion of them. And some people who are brought there by whoever I'm speaking with. I don't flatter myself that people are kind of tuning in to hear me ask questions, but I think a lot of the listeners will be led to it by the person I'm speaking with. But we also get a bit of interest from the local boroughs. You know, I'll sort of tag in Bromley to this and they might retweet it. Kingston got quite excited that I hadn't been to Kingston yet. So, yeah, so it's a bit of a mix. I don't think it's a huge listenership, but I think it's quite loyal, and I think people who like the idea are kind of following the journey, which is, that's a nice feeling, isn't it? The fact that there's some regular returning listeners who are kind of getting something from the podcast.
Both you and I do podcasting, yeah. So we kind of know something about the ins and outs, but it sounds as though you've learnt a similar way to me, sort of on foot.
On foot, absolutely, yeah. Just by doing, learning by doing.
What's the engineering you're doing?
Yeah, so I would say that anyone who's planning on doing a podcast, just give it a go. I didn't come to it with huge amounts of knowledge. I think I got a U in GCSE IT, so I'm not going in there as some kind of incredibly qualified audio technician. If you're passionate about it and you're prepared to put in the time, and I had the mic anyway because I've worked for the last sort of decade mainly as a print journalist, so I had it for interviewing, and it had been gathering dust really. I hadn't used it for a few years. Got it out, and it's a decent mic. It's a Zoom mic, and that's all you need. It's very equipment light, isn't it, to do it? Yeah, I learned by doing it. The first couple took days. I think the Shappi Kisanli one was like probably 5 days' work. But then it's probably more like 5 hours now, you know, all in.
And how long's the podcast at the end of it?
It varies, but never more than an hour and rarely less than half an hour. Yeah, sometimes the walk or the conversation seems to demand longer amounts of time.
You take a sound file from the recorder.
Yeah.
And you import that into GarageBand.
Import that into GarageBand, and then I came up with a few little jingles myself. There's a kind of acoustic little, I guess you call it a sting in the audio industry. That was a freebie. I later found out that actually YouTube do a lot of, there's a lot of royalty-free music that you can download of much higher quality than my own acoustic guitar playing. So if I do it again, I'll probably just do that. And yeah, and then it's just a matter of, and this is a nice part about it, isn't it, Andrew, is the edit, isn't it? Because that's when it feels a bit more artistic and creative. You can decide, you know, what stuff you want to keep, the order you put it in, if there's any audio stuff, there's a huge traffic noise, can you get rid of that? So I love all that. That feels like the creative process. And then, yeah, an intro and an outro, and that's it. So I try and keep the format fairly straightforward.
I've no idea where we are. On our way to the Kent-Surrey border.
Yeah, John Rogers talks about. It's about the idea of striking out for the known, which I quite like as a phrase, and Yeah, he said, you know, adventure begins at home, and I think that's really empowering kind of maxim. Like, you know, the idea that actually some of the greatest adventures can happen, like, right outside your front door. Like, what we're doing today.
Well, she's now getting very, this is like fast-setting cement.
So what we're doing today, kind of scrambling through mud on a deserted path, we don't look and see anyone. I think that's just as adventurous or more adventurous than a lot of these kind of, you know, like packaged adventures. Oh, you know, we hope that more people start doing it and discovering that for themselves. I think it's, even from a financial point of view, it's a great alternative, isn't it, to the £1,000 trek in the jungle. People can do that if they want, that's fine, but I think there are other adventures that aren't kind of just, oh God, why are you walking in the kind of Surrey-Kent border? That sort of sounds awful. And it's not, is it? It's lovely.
It is lovely, but I'm not sure I'd want to do it all the time. I'd like to have a bit of variety.
This is one of the things about North Downs Way that I've noticed is different to South Downs Way. I'm quite torn as to whether they should change it or not, but the signposting is way worse than the South Downs Way. So North Downs Way, you kind of have to know where you're going, whereas the South Downs Way, you really can just turn up without a map and follow the sign. I think maybe this place would be busier if it was slightly better looked after.
Easier to find.
You want to get people walking these sort of routes more. I don't think they really do enough with signposts and stuff to make it kind of, I don't know, sort of user-friendly enough.
Yeah, yeah. I've asked you to recommend a couple of peaks, but really, you know, is there one that, you know, is there a story tied to anything where something befell you or it came as an unexpected surprise?
Definitely an unexpected surprise was there's, do you know that it's possible to climb the Alps in London without leaving the M25 or venturing higher than 35 metres? So I didn't. But actually, if you go over to the Beckton Alps in Newham, it's just unbelievable. It was a dry ski slope opened by Princess Di in like the late 1980s, I think. And then it just wasn't used, I think, and was a bit of a disaster. And it's now a sort of toxic spoil heap in Newham. I'm not sure the legality of climbing it, so I don't want to say to everyone, go and climb Beckton Alps, but it's possible to do. I've done it. It is absolutely unbelievable, and you get this incredible view out into sort of the city of London, further out into Essex. It's my favourite London peak, I think, because it mixes a lot of stuff up. There's kind of...
So it's man-made, basically.
It's man-made, but it feels quite wild and remote, and it's kind of very much overgrown. And then you get this great view, but it's not a view of, like, the lakes or anything. It's a view of the city of London. So you feel very in London, but in a very, very strange part of London when you're up there. So if I could just have one peak, I think it would be the toxic spoil heap in Newham, the Beckton Alps. Now, I hope people go and try and find these peaks themselves. You learn something about London by checking out not just like its celebrated places, but also its uncelebrated places. And most of these peaks are London, and it's kind of unloved London. And I think it's really worthwhile to look at London from both the kind of celebrated stuff and also the uncelebrated stuff.
Yeah, well, I've really enjoyed this, so thank you so far. And we haven't even got to the peak.
We haven't got to the peak yet.
Okay, we might have to do a little bit of recording at the peak. But
so the place we're going today, Westerham Heights, it's 245 metres above sea level. And I found out the Shard observation deck is 244.3 metres, so we're going to be 70 centimetres higher than the observation deck on the Shard. To find that out, I actually thought that was really kind of great.
We're here at the top of number 24. Is that where you were?
Top of 24th peak, yeah, the top of Bromley. And my expectations would be, I've been here before, so I knew it wasn't going to be a great view. I feel like you're slightly underwhelmed by the highest point in London. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I'm afraid I am a little bit. So what's left? Tell us the seven.
Yeah, right. That's going to be a good test. So Kingston, still need to do Kingston. Still need to do Harrow, Hillingdon, Hounslow, Brent, Barking, and one other that I can't think of.
Of those, which one are you most excited about?
The stuff I know least about is probably northwest London, so I'd like to see Hillingdon and Harrow. I think it actually gets quite nice and green up there. Oh, Barnet, that's the other one. I haven't done Barnet either.
Good, all right.
Well, it's a pleasure, a total pleasure.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Rick Pearson. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.